What's to say that? All right, we're on Reish Ayin. I think we said the third paragraph, yeah? Nagdim is a dove of a moshel. Trying to explain this that we spoke about yesterday with a moshel. This aspect that a person can't have any jealousy because he understands that everything that he has is very specifically designed for him and for his particular needs, both in this world but more specifically in the world to come. And therefore there can't be jealousy. And we said that having jealousy is going to create an enormous amount of unnecessary suffering. There's enough suffering in that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has allocated us. Being jealous just adds suffering upon suffering. I'll give you a piece of free advice. If ever you're having a real hard nisoyev, okay, go and have a look and see how much jealousy is driving around you. Get rid of that. You'll see the nisoyev actually becomes a lot more manageable. A lot of the nisoyev is our inbuilt thought that this shouldn't be happening to me. Or why can't I have like him? Why can't I have what he has? Why can't I? It's never intrinsic in the nisoyim. It's always the we blow up the nisoyim a lot more with these kind of incorrect thoughts. Anyway, let's nagdim as a dog of a marshal. Let's look at a marshal. Nitalat meinu ki 95% min azugot hanisuin hayichas lechelila chashuche yeladim. Let's just say that 95% of the children, people that get married, chas lechelila don't have children. Would people that don't have children, would their tzar be that great? You know when you're getting married, 95% of people don't have kids. So you don't have kids. There's a tzar there, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying there's no tzar. But if, would it be as great as if, you know, you're one of the 5% that don't have children? What would you say? Be the same?
Huh? Much lower.
Maybe much lower. Oh, so it's not the etzem tzar. Of not having a child that's causing the tzar. There's a tzar there. No one's saying there's no tzar. But there's a tzar, and then there's this additional tzar that, like, that's a jealousy based tzar, right? Ha'uv de sha'in le miladim ha'isa mitkabel es kedova ha'muv emalo. The fact that I have children would be understood of itself. There's very few people have children, so I'm one of them. Havoyim eshelo rak ha'uv d'shein lemiladim hi hagerim eslim kei v'tzar. It's not just the fact that they don't have children that's goyim them kei v'tzar. Ela gam ha'uv d'shein kulam yesh ledim ulahim ein. What's causing an additional tzar is the fact that when everyone else has children and I don't. There's two tzars here. There's a tzar that I don't have children, and there's another tzar but everyone else does.
You can still have jealousy of like someone who wins the lotto. Obviously, that doesn't happen there, bro.
People aren't so jealous of
it.
People aren't so angry
that
they don't win the lotto.
No, they're angry, but there's jealousy.
I'm jealous. Why can't I have that money? I bought a lot of tickets. He bought a lot of tickets. You have somebody won the $4 million lotto ticket. You don't have a little pang of jealousy?
No, but yeah, exactly. A little
pang. Okay, fine. We're not saying it. Right.
I'm saying that.
He's just bringing this muscle to illustrate that very often a lot of our tsar is jealousy related. That doesn't mean everything is always jealousy related. It doesn't mean that everything just because everyone else has got. Yeah, this is a moshel, not a klal god. Yeah, no, you're right. I'm saying it. I'm still a little bit jealous of that guy.
Yeah, but it's also only a little bit. If everyone's winning the lottery
and you're not, you'd be much more angry. Yeah. If everybody was rich and you were poor, then you'd be very, very upset. People always say it's much easier to live in Eretz Israel. This is a famous statement, and everyone's heard this. It's much easier to live in Eretz Yisrael like on a lower standard of living because everyone's doing it. To live like I live in South Africa would be totally impossible. Because no one's living like that. Everyone's living 10 times higher standard of living than the way we live in Eretz Yisrael. You wouldn't live in a 120 square meter apartment if you were living in Teaneck. Would you live like where you're living now if you were living back in America? There's no way you would get away with it. You couldn't. So, why? Because everyone else is. But if everyone lives like that, then what else can live like that? What's the problem?
One car,
yeah. It's only got 8 seats in it. A little mini minor, it's an 8 seater. Yeah. What do you mean you don't have a 3-acre backyard? How big is the average backyard in South Africa?
Yeah.
when the Texas first came to South Africa some 20 years ago, so they also rented my house in Glen Hazel. We've got the fanciest neighbor. It's like a middle to upper class neighbor or whatever, but it's a normal, like, whatever. So anyway, so the one day we went to the house, and we had a little picnic in the garden with the kids and whatever. So one of the kids wanted to know, it's so kept, they told the grandmother that it's so kept, we've got a park right next to our house. And that was their backyard. They thought they went to the house. They went to the park. They couldn't understand that was their backyard. You know, find the sister to tell her that the mama should say, the schmuck, there's a park right next door to the house. So yes, everyone's living with a park next door to the house. Yours is on a park, but okay, I think it's moving. But took on a separate. Lo yitzu chas v'chalila shele 95% min ha oklusia hayiloldim yiladim poigei moich. What's oklusia?
Population.
If it's 95% of the population, you have children retarded. What like retarded children, right? Hayim gam az yisev lem shel hayim yiladim eilu korav? Why don't you be a suffering? Wouldn't there be an added suffering because, oh well, it's like one in a million, and I've got that one. But if everyone's having retarded kids, so then you're part of the normal scene. Vaday sheloy. Hamatzir shehem charigim benoif haynushi hi hamakpele es regesh hakaev atzah. The fact that this is not happening to other people, or that this is only happening to me, creates an additional tzah. And you know that. You have a problem, whatever, he doesn't got a strong bias from whatever. He speaks to his friend, he suddenly realizes his friend's got the same problem, and everyone down there has got a problem. Suddenly the problem doesn't look so big. The problem looks much bigger when you think you're the only one with that problem. And that's how a lot of these groups work. How does group therapy work? Group therapy works because you realize you're not alone. There are other people that have got the same problems. No, it's a big yisod. This it comes into chinuch as well. We ruin our children on the back of this issue. Yeah. When your kid should be in shul and he's not, why are you upset? Yeah, because you don't look at you're thinking you're a lousy father. Yeah, that's what really drives it. You look around, you see some other kids outside as well. You kind of feel a lot better, you know. You think you're like to concentrate on Yishmael Esther. You look around, only your kid outside schmoozing. Yeah, no one else's kids. You feel terrible. Pick it up straight away. What am I upset about? Yeah, if the kid should be in shul, fine, we'll have to deal with it, right? And if he doesn't have to be in shul, then what do you care if he's in shul or not? But even if you made an objective calculation and the Rav told you, don't leave your kid outside, don't make him come to shul, right? Yeah, not your shvet. Everybody else. Let him stay outside shmuzin. Yeah, if that's true, right? So then you're only going to get upset if it's only your kid.
Who's he shmuzin?
Yeah, okay, stomach cash, good, alright. Yeah.
Brother.
Whatever. One other kid. No, but I'm just saying, is that psychology? It's in a lot of different things. It's in many, many, many things. Yeah. You can apply this principle to, come on, you're all intelligent guys. When I cashew a deem is boiling, but call how you malio, if a person would meditate deeply on what's said above, because your day should actually tafki, yichidi, hashaych achvraklo. He understands that he has a job in this world that only he can do. He lives with the reality that he's the whole world on his own. And in his world, the whole world doesn't have children. If he doesn't have children, yeah, Rahman Islam, then in his world no one has children. Because no one else lives in his world except him. Whatever problems he's got, those are the problems that belong to the whole world. What would be if the guy was the only person in the world? He went back to being Adam Arishon. And he doesn't have children. He's Adam Arishon and he doesn't have children. Haim Dovazeh Hayayu Matridoto, that would mamash really bug him. Maybe. See, Avraham Avinu was bothered by not having children. Yeah, he understood that he had a unique tafkid. What was bothering Avraham Avinu about not having children was Avraham Avinu wanted to be the future of Klal Yisrael. Avraham Avinu wanted somebody that could go on and build Shiftei Kol. He wasn't upset that he had nobody to stick some mashed banana into his mouth. That wasn't what was bugging him. Ibn Afer, im hu haya adam yachid bo'ilam, ashen apanasa yitzarich lo'omo mi boykad erif, ha'im adoviya mafilo. If he was the only person in the world, right, and he was the only guy that used to go to 8 o'clock in the morning and come at 9 o'clock at night, toiling in Parnassa, it would bother him? That's what he has to do. Yeah, but everyone else can sit and learn. Why do I have to work? Ah, that's the problem. Everyone else. You, intrinsically? Yeah, there's a tzar there. No, I'm saying it would take all the tzar away. There's only going to be a tzar in the tzar that, yeah, that's what's called tzar.
But you can still appreciate that things could be done in a different way, a more comfortable way. Even
it couldn't be. Otherwise, Hashem would have given it to you better.
Even if you don't see other people. I'm saying even if you don't see other people.
You can't. No, that's the mistake you're making. If you, it was no one else in the world, right?
Yeah.
And you had a really difficult, complicated way of doing things. That's what Hashem allocated you. You'd be fine with it because you knew that that's your job. You get on with your job. No one else can do this job.
You could still
you would never think that could be more comfortable. It couldn't. Otherwise, Hashem would have made it more comfortable.
If you just think Adam Rishon's job is to dig a hole and the sun's beating down, or, you know, or it could be less hot.
It can't be less hot. Hashem makes it hot. You want to get an umbrella? Fine. Putting up an umbrella. Fine. That you're allowed to do. No one says you just sit back. Jews are not the kind of, we're not Buddhists. You know, we're just like fatalists. We're just the back and say, yeah, you know, everything's fine. You know, get a dress, the next Gilgal. Yeah. No, that's not the Jewish approach to life at all. That's a pathway to complete churva. That's a terrible pathway.
I'm saying, so he wanted to be more shady, so he... So he does something about it, he doesn't do something, whatever.
There is a range of human activity. We're not taking away human activity. But the fact that he doesn't have an umbrella, he's not going to freak him out if he doesn't see his neighbor with an umbrella. He's just going to accept the fact that Hashem wants me to shrink the bit. He'll do whatever he studies and whatever normal human activity he needs to do, which we need to do. No one's saying we just sit back and take what we get. You have to do the best you can in the circumstances you get. But the tzar that you have is multiplied dozens of times by the amount of jealousy that we have, which is caused by the lack of understanding of how unique our particular situation in the world is. I believe there's also another aspect which is tied into jealousy, and that's embarrassment. Jealousy and embarrassment are together. It's like if everyone else has got a certain situation or whatever, you don't. So you're like, you're embarrassed. You're kind of like people are talking about you and people think you're a bad guy, people think you're this, or people think you're a failure, etc., etc., etc. So that makes it even harder to mechazik yourself and say, hey, this is my unique talk, what Hashem wants from me. You know, for example, a guy, the story we mentioned the other day about the guy who's he's got to pay $10,000 tomorrow, he's going to lose his house and the mortgage. Right? But he on his own might be able to completely accept the fact that I did everything I could. He made his shtaglis, he tried to borrow the money, he davened, he went to the tzaddik for a brocha. You understand what I'm saying? He made some shtaglis. But at the end of the day, he never got the money that took the house away, right? But he understands it, that's fine, that's the best thing that could have happened to him, yeah? But how's he going to handle it when his neighbours look at him and he's living on the, you know, he's got a little cardboard box outside on the pavement there, you know, with him and his kids, they're sitting on the suitcase there, whatever. This is the best thing, the guy's ecstatic, he's besimcha because Hashem did this to him or whatever, yeah, but when the neighbours look at him and whatever, so there's intrinsic in the fact that there's a jealousy and there's also an embarrassment. And that's very linked to not understanding, this is my unique task here. Because that embarrassment's also part of the unique task here. That's a lot of our problems. It's not the problem itself, it's our looking over our shoulders and seeing what's going on around us. I mean, that's the old, you know, keeping up with the Joneses, you know. We know that drives a lot of society today. I mean, for goodness sake, the whole American society, the whole Western culture is built on trying to, you know, be like everybody else and not be outdone by anybody else. And that's advertising, everyone understands that that's how it works. Heard of a thing called peer pressure? So that's linked in this. There can't be any peer pressure here. Where's the peer pressure? You and me, we've got different jobs to do. So you do your job, mine do my job, and hopefully we'll complement each other in our jobs. Then the world would look beautiful. Then it'd be just cooperative life. It would be marvelous. Everyone understands that everyone has got a different job to do, and I just try mechazik and help and support my friend doing his job, and he helps me while I carry on doing my job. No one's trying to outdo anybody, outbid anybody, schlog anybody up. We're all out there just trying to prop up each other. Maybe such a society. Rebecca has a whole methodology called cooperative learning, which is doing in the classroom. You give the bright kid a prize if he helps the weak kid get better marks. I mean, his whole success, this bright kid who helps very quickly, his whole success and praise is determined on how he helps the weak kid catch him up. It's a whole system of, it takes 40 hours to learn this methodology that he has. It's cooperative learning. So that's based on understanding. I'm clever, he's dumb, he's got a job to do, I've got a job to do, let's help each other do our jobs. You know, so then you have a very healthy society. To be continued.
Thank you.